fish heads, roly poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum. Fish heads, fish heads, roly poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum.
Hey, welcome back to Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. I'm your host, Ben Sargent, and today we have Fairway Markets to thank for this episode. I am here with the Shameless Carnivore. Scott Gold is in the studio. He is the author of The Shameless Carnivore and a meat eater, and today a surf and turf expert. Welcome, man.
Hey, thanks for having me here, man.
Cheers, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, I hope you guys heard that at home.
Oh, start the show off right with a frosty beverage.
Give us a little background on you and how you became the guy to talk about meat.
It kind of happened to me. I was never a big proselytizer of the carnivorous way, mm-hmm. but I was working in book publishing, and just by the way that things happen in life sometimes, it kind of fell into my lap, the basic idea. An editor and an agent thought it would be fun and kind of zeitgeisty to do a carnivore's polemic. There were a lot of vegetarian books out there, of course, about why vegetarianism is good for you in vegetarian right. cookbooks, and no one had ever really done a very conscious, like, I'd say semi-serious. I joke around a lot.
Yeah, you make fun of yourself a lot in this book, which
I do.
Cool.
It's the only way to be, you know, just diffuse the tension before it, you know. It becomes a problem.
Sure.
But
before they start calling you an expert in your field.
Exactly. I'm not a meat expert. I know we were talking about this before. Mm. I know a fair bit about meat, but I do have so much more to learn. Mm-hmm.
Does that happen? Like, you know, once you write the book just out of sort of pure interest, suddenly people start looking at you for answers and you're like, whoa, 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 I just wrote a little book here. I'm not like a chef, or I know you do quite a bit of cooking at home, but it's kind of a lot of your cooking's just like backyard stuff, right?
Yeah, it's usually pretty easy. It's a lot mm-hmm. of it is based on, you know, recipes that I grew up with mm-hmm. in South Louisiana. I'm from New Orleans. My mom is a tremendous cook,
which, by the way, folks, apart from being a carnivore, we had Scott on the show to talk about his trip down to Louisiana just recently. He was in the Gulf, and so we're gonna hear from you about what that experience was like, because you're kind of going back for a family reunion, right to the most oil slick.
Yeah, yeah. it's pretty terrible, but you know, in true Louisiana spirit, we're just not going to let anybody get us down.
Right.
You know, we'll raise the middle finger salute to BP and all them.
Sure.
But they're not going to keep us from having a good time.
And tell me a little bit about that. What is, I mean, you were born and raised in that area? Your whole life?
I was born in Gainesville, Florida. Mm-hmm. By the time I was about one, I moved with my family. We moved back to Louisiana. Both of my parents are from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And every year we'd take a vacation out to the Gulf Coast beaches of Alabama and Florida, right there on the Panhandle. It's a really quick drive, between 3.5 and 5 hours, depending on how far you go down. And we would just have a grand old time out on the beach and eat a lot of seafood.
So this time you went down, and how does it look different from how it normally does?
Well, the beach doesn't look like the biggest box of kitty litter you've ever seen in your entire life.
Is that it?
That's what it looks like. That tar balls, can I use any profanity here?
Yeah, a lot, actually.
Okay, good. The tar balls look like cat shit.
Okay.
Not very oily cat shit. Sometimes like cat diarrhea. It's really, God. Really gross.
Yeah.
And they got the BP guys there in their lime green t-shirts, you know,
that
pretending.
That kind of takes the fun out of your beach experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Hazmat suits and stuff.
They're staging areas and porta potties on the beaches, mm-hmm. and it's not a lot of fun. And it's deceptive, because when you look out, if you're, you know, on your balcony and you're looking out into the Gulf, it looks fine.
Mm-hmm.
And we would, like, every day we would take a look out on the horizon, see if we could see any discoloration or oil slick. But the water where we were in Gulf Shores, Alabama, was really, it was beautiful.
Huh.
It was only when you got up to the water line that you could really see just all the grossness. And we didn't even end up going into the water.
You
it was,
didn't.
Not there. We ended up in Perdido Bay, going out on a fishing boat and heading to the fish restaurant. And it's always, as you probably know, when you go to the restaurant right there on the bay and you just dock your boat, step off, and
so awesome.
Order yourself. I got a grouper Reuben.
Nice.
Which I was like, a Reuben? I don't know, man. I live in New York City, but Garwith said, seriously, trust me. So just thick slabs of thick, really beautiful grilled grouper with all the fixings and the cheese and kraut and Thousand Island on rye. It was a beautiful sandwich.
And as a Southern boy, what was kind of the cooking that you grew up like? We were talking earlier about po' boys. You know, a lot of people don't even know what a po' boy is from up north.
It's the only sandwich in my as far as I've been able to figure out that that was invented because of a labor dispute.
What, how'd that?
I can't remember the exact dates, but I think it was early 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the subway driver's transit union strike, I believe. I could be mistaken on this, but I think it was the transit worker strike, and they were, you know, holding out for better, you know, conditions and pay. And the local sandwich shops said, you know, we're going to support our boys.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you come by, and after you've been striking, if you come by our restaurant, we'll give you a great big sandwich on a big loaf of, you know, New Orleans-style French bread, which is not like a French baguette. It's not crusty on the outside. It's very flaky and very soft and pillowy and chewy on the inside. And they fill it up with fried oysters and fried shrimp, catfish, what have you, ham and cheese, roast beef in a thick brown gravy, whatever they had.
So anything can go into a po' boy.
Anything can go into a po' boy.
Does it always have a mayo-y type of a...
Well, we order them dressed. And dressed means lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, and mayonnaise.
Okay.
So these transit workers would come in for their free sandwich that they could take home and feed their family.
Yeah.
And every time they'd come in, the proprietors would say, oh, look, here come another one of them po' boys.
Oh, that's... Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I did not
poor
know.
Poor boys. What are them po'
right.
boys?
Po' boys. Huh.
So, yeah, they're usually... I mean, I like mine loaded up with fried seafood.
Yeah.
But the roast beef in a rich, rich, rich brown gravy is also also a very popular po' boy. Down when I was in the Gulf Coast, we did a fried grouper po' boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they dress theirs with a tartar sauce, but that's not completely out of line.
That sounds like heaven to me.
It's again, grouper is one of my favorite fish come out of the Gulf.
Right.
It's absolutely...
Those guys get huge.
They do. They're very, very big.
Yeah.
And yet you have to eat them when they're fresh, within about a day and a half, which is why we probably don't see so much grouper up here.
Okay.
But on the other side, it's nice to go back, you know, to my homeland, knowing that that's what I can get. And, you know, if I have to wait for it, you know, a little bit to make sure that it's fresh, that's fine by me.
Right. Now, are you seeing seafood prices go up yet?
Yes.
You are.
Seafood prices have started to inch up,
mm-hmm.
but we're probably...
Is that because... Now, I know Obama came on and he's like, it's fine to eat the seafood in this area. Like,
it
how,
is.
Well,
the
how?
Seafood is.
How is that possible?
The seafood is fine. It's, you know, they're meticulously testing it, and they're They're searching for the seafood in parts that haven't already been contaminated yet, but the problem is the spill still isn't the vent isn't capped yet, and we don't know how wide it's going to spread.
How insane is that?
It's pretty terrible. I mean, I think this, and it doesn't seem like BP is trying particularly hard to get this done. I know they're feeling a lot of pressure.
When you can send guys to the moon. That you can't go down a mile into the bottom of the ocean and cap something.
Well, I think I've arrived at a solution. Yeah. I was thinking about this today.
Yeah.
That can make this over sooner.
You and Dustin Hoffman. No, who was it? Who's the celebrity? You guys gotta go down there together.
There are a lot of them, but
they're using his plan now.
I think we should have an international mandate that Tony Hayward and the executive board of Beyond Petroleum.
Yeah.
For every week that this continues, one of them has to lick the scrotum of a South Louisiana lobster. Fishermen.
Nice.
They'd get things cleaned up pretty quickly. I mean, I'm talking like these big burly salty guys from like Grand Isle in Venice, Louisiana,
right.
You know, not the strapping young deckhands, like the old salty guys. You know, that haven't, you know, been out on a while, haven't showered in 6 weeks,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
If we make that happen, I think they'd clean it up pretty quickly.
Now, Has your family had any, I don't know, like any ramifications directly to
We have. I mean, other than being absolutely devastated and heartbroken,
sure.
and, you know, everything that's going on and being, you know, fearful of what it's going to do to literally our way of life. And you hear that term bandied about, but it is very, very true. Gulf seafood is a way of life for the entire, not just for, you know, South Louisiana, but you know, for Mississippi, Alabama, for Florida, the entire Gulf Coast. And it's, you know, a very revered tradition, especially because of seafood, because we have such bountiful seafood, shrimp, fish, oysters, crabs, you name it.
Yeah.
That it's not, you know, eating good fresh seafood, it's not a snobby thing. It's not only the people that have money can eat this really fine product. It's a food of the people,
sure,
because it's affordable. Mm-hmm. You know, oyster, you know, really big Louisiana oysters, and you know, $9 a dozen, and you know, some of the best really, you know, fresh seafood that you would pay double for pretty much anywhere else in the country. So aside from that affecting our way of life, you know, my parents have this, you know, property on in the Gulf, and when they're not there, they rent it out to vacationers, and people just, you know, have stopped coming.
Wow.
And so that's resulted in, you know, my folks taking, you know, starting to take a claim against BP for lost income on that property. But I mean, that's small. That's very, very small.
That's wild. So they filed the paperwork and everything.
Oh yeah, they have a whole BP has a whole operation set up.
Right.
Like ready to take your claim.
Right, but I heard, you know, the reports are some people's claims have been answered right away and others have not heard anything.
Yes, some linger. I mean, it depends on.
Have they heard anything?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're getting. I mean, that's a very direct claim. Like, they've been directly affected, but you wonder about certain restaurateurs. Susan Spicer at the restaurant Bayona, one of my favorite, one of my absolute favorite New Orleans cooks. And Bayona is an amazing restaurant. If you ever get down to New Orleans, you should absolutely check it out.
Okay.
She is kind of leading the charge of restaurateurs who are filing suits against BP because it's messing with their costs, and it's making their operations that much more difficult to operate. And so,
Not to mention tourism.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's it. Right.
So it's hard. You know, there are different levels in the way that people are affected and how they file their claims. But I mean, definitely, I mean, anybody who's involved in the fishing or shrimping or oyster business, like anybody who has, you know, is, you know, a fisherman or fisher person, fisher woman.
Yeah.
A fish, sapiens.
Fisher. Yeah.
I mean, they should be taken care of immediately. And, I mean, because there's nothing they can do, and a lot of them, they've been fishing for generations, and they have no other, you know, real dedicated skills, and I mean, it's really depressing to see them out of work when, you know, that whole business was such one filled with such pride.
Yeah, is it grimmer or not as grim as we originally thought it would be?
It's pretty damn grim, but still, we haven't seen the full fallout. And I gotta say fallout because it is, I mean, such a disaster, like almost on, you know, a nuclear level as far as, you know, the broad spectrum of, you know, how this is devastating the economy and the ecology. So we've only seen the beginning. I mean, seafood prices have started to go up, you know, a couple of dollars per pound for you know, shrimp and oysters and crabs here and there.
Were you guys wiping oil off your feet when you were down on the beach?
Absolutely. Well, trying not to. You want to stay away. Anything that looks like that.
Literally? You actually were?
Absolutely. They, at this property, they at the end of the boardwalk, they had a bottle of dish detergent, actually, I think is Dawn.
Damn, that is horrible.
and a scrub brush and a bucket. And, you know, if you happen to spy some, you know, oil on your feet, then you gotta, you know, you scrub it off. Because the tar balls, I mean, they look solid, but they're really, you know, once they break apart, they leave an oily, filmy residue.
Dude, I asked you to bring me back a Louisiana tar ball, but I got nothing. Nothing.
I had a few requests, but
in a bottle.
It was
like a piece of the Berlin Wall. Come on, man.
It was too depressing.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, who wants to go through airport security with that, man?
That's a good point.
Son, what is this you have in your bag?
Just a little souvenir.
Just a little oil that is probably not flammable at all, I assure you.
I came to Louisiana and all I got was this lousy cup of oil.
Well, the good thing, well, one, you know, in the way that we operate, and you know, the humor we find, especially New Orleanians tend to find, you know, humor in any situation. We've certainly been through worse. There was actually Louisiana Board of Tourism took out an ad with BP money that they got saying, "This isn't the first time we have survived the British." A nice War of 1812 reference
awesome.
Right there.
That's awesome.
Of course, you know, and then it was in one of the tabloids in England. You know, they were getting they didn't take too kindly to that. It's right. Like, guys, come on, take a joke.
Yeah, right.
But you know, we see the humor in it when we can, and you know, we carry on. But I've learned that the phrase "tarballs" makes for an awesome exclamation of despair and frustration.
I love the
you know,
phrase.
It's like, God damn it,
tarballs,
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 ah, tarballs. Some guy rear ends you. God, tarballs. God.
Now you have Scott's got the guitar here in his hand, and you've been playing for years, right?
Yeah, since I was about 11 or so. I'm a little rustier
that's
now
okay.
than I'm normally.
That's okay. We got a real old guitar, so no one's gonna know the difference. But tell us. I mean, you've even written songs about food.
Oh yeah, I love writing about food. when the book came out, I don't know if we talked about this, but part of the book. I went on a few adventures.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Testicle Festival in Montana. I went squirrel
Testicle
hunting. Testicle Festival. Yeah.
That's Rocky Mountain oysters. Is it?
It's Rocky Mountain oysters, breaded and fried.
Yum.
But I mean, it's like this crazy, you know, big, you know, redneck mountain Mardi Gras. It's absolutely insane. Like the eating of testicles is probably the least interesting part of the entire.
I was in Colorado and heard about these, and I was like checking every stream and brook and, you know, pond and lake, and I couldn't find
oysters anywhere.
I couldn't. But I was totally misguided. I finally ended up on a farm. The guy's like, "Look between the legs."
Hey, next time we'll send you out on a snipe hunt. How about that?
let's hear this. I want to hear this.
So yeah, so I tried to eat 31 different animals in the span of 31 days.
Wow.
And so, you know, it was part of a promotional thing, and the fact that
no
I was...
No remorse?
No remorse whatsoever.
Okay.
I didn't quite make it, but I got really close. I got to about 28 or 29 in the month, so I was pretty close.
Did you do any prairie dog hunting?
I went squirrel hunting.
Uh-huh.
In plain dealing Louisiana with a man named Leroy Knuckles. I'm not kidding you. It's a friend of the family, Leroy and his wife, Peggy Knuckles. And we spent a couple of days hunting squirrels, and we came back with a bunch. And Leroy's 84-year-old mother, Mama Knuckles, cooked
Mama
us up
Knuckles.
A big old pot of squirrel and dumplings.
Was that gross? Good?
That was pretty good.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's frontier food. People don't realize it. Americans have been eating squirrel for a long time.
Yeah.
The word venison actually originally referred to any furred game, including, you know, squirrels, rabbits.
Didn't know that.
You know, raccoons, what have you. But yeah, I mean, frontier colonial times, they were eating squirrels, man. There's squirrels everywhere.
Can you, you didn't feel terrible about killing a little fluffy? Some of them are kind of cute.
Yeah,
I mean,
the ones in
Central Park, we could probably lose a few of those.
Exactly. Once they see you, they're gone.
Uh-huh.
They're very elusive. They're in the trees. Up in these fantastically tall pin oaks.
Oh, so they're far away.
Yeah. So, you know, just distance-wise, you're using a shotgun.
You've got sort of our government's policy.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you can't see what you're aiming at.
I had to get licensed, you know. I had to get my license to kill squirrels. Mm-hmm. And
Did you use a drone to take out those squirrels?
Predator drone. That would have been squirrel confetti everywhere. It was emotional. I'd never, despite the fact that Louisiana is known as sportsman's paradise.
It's ruthless, man. I got in a car with a guy who packed some. He's Vietnamese, didn't speak any English. I'm here with my friend who is part of the Vietnamese shrimp fishing, you know, community.
Right, right.
And he's like, "Oh, we're going up to his cabin," and this guy's packing gasoline, rope, and rifles into the back.
Yep.
And I'm like, "Hey, Lau, you want to tell me like what the guy's got all this rope and rifles for?" he's like, "Oh no, he runs a camp up there. I'm sure he's just getting prepared for, you know, a little hunting." I'm like, "Okay, because I don't know what's going on here."
A lot of hunting and fishing.
A lot of hunting and fishing.
You like to hunt, and if you like to catch it, grill it, and eat it.
Yeah.
Then it's definitely
it's a good
place.
Spot.
It's a very, very big hunting and fishing culture. And I grew up with that, but my parents weren't hunters. My family, you know, they didn't hunt.
Mm.
So I never really grew up with it. So this was the first time I did it, and it was emotional.
Yeah.
It wasn't an easy thing. I was a little shaken up, but at the same time, you know, when you talk about eating animals, you gotta own up to it. If you're gonna be, sure, you know, a shameless carnivore, if you're gonna eat meat without shame, then you have to take your part in the food chain and realize that, you know, meat comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
And you know, because we're living in an industrialized society, we kind of lost track of that a little bit.
So
all right, let's hear a song.
Let's hear about these 31 animals you ate.
Alright, so this is a song about the 31 animals. Apologies to Bob Dylan on that. A one, two, a one, two, three, foul! I was in the kitchen fixing up a chicken, asking where your friends is, all the little guinea hens. Quack, quack, out back playing in the pig pen. Duck, duck, goose with the feathers and the pigeons. Look out, kid, you know what you is, a bacon and sausage country hammock cracklands. Goat rode the caribou, asked him how the thing to do. Llamas by your mamas, we're gonna be a barbecue. Whitetail, snail, quail, antelope roast for two. Carry up a boar, this is more than just me and you. Look out, kid, you know what we'll do. We'll stick you on a spit before you ever see a petting zoo. Nice. 31 animals in 31 days. You cook them up 1,000 ways. It's amazing. A cow says, how you gonna put me on a plate? Chuck roast, prime rib, brisket, or a strip steak? Elk's got nothing on the mutton, elk's great. But stay away from guinea pig when you're on a first date. Look out, friend, are you vegetarian? I love you, but I can't share what I just ate. 31 animals in 31 days, you cook them up 1,000. 31 animals in 31 days, you cook them up 1,000. 31 animals in 31 days, you cook them up 1,000 ways. It's amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
Dude, I think Bob Dylan would be proud.
I think
he is proud. Maybe he's heard it.
I don't know.
On YouTube?
Maybe he has. It is on YouTube. If you want to check it out, just look up for look to a YouTube search of Shameless Carnivore. We actually filmed a video where I have we wrote out a bunch of cards, filmed it in black and white, and I'm dropping the cards with the names of the animals on there. It's a lot of fun.
I don't think for a second that these big stars don't check YouTube to see people's renditions of their.
I'd be scared. I have no idea.
Meanwhile, the Bushwick black boar over us is petrified there.
Yeah, he's pretty terrible.
He didn't like that song much at all.
Well, you know what? I bet he was really tasty. So, Mr. Boar,
sure he was.
I salute you, sir.
Those things are scary, aren't they?
They're terrifically dangerous, and
they're down in that neck of the woods.
Well,
right?
Especially in Louisiana and in Arkansas, particularly, and in Texas, they're a huge ecological menace.
Okay,
they tear up the lands that are used for farming. They eat crops,
right?
And they grow to insane sizes.
But have you ever noticed that that's an excuse for anything that people want to kill?
Yeah, but you can't. There's actually no season there's no governmental. Restriction on hunting these monsters,
right?
Because first of all, you know, they breed prolifically. Mm-hmm. They're masterful survivors, and they're mean as shit. They're really mean. They're very, very aggressive and territorial and protective.
Yeah.
And difficult to kill.
I've seen this crazy sport where they hunt them with a knife. One hunter has a knife and he's got like 10 dogs,
mm-hmm.
and the dogs pin the boar, and then he has to run in there.
That's
scary.
That's cojones.
Yeah, it is for sure.
I want to have a TV show called That's Cojones.
That's cojones. Yeah, dude, that is insane.
But you know, at the same time, wild boar is absolutely delicious. You've had it before, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. There's nothing like wild animals, and you don't really. You see that a bit in the quality between, you know, farmed fish and wild fish,
mm-hmm.
but not as much so as if you have like a wild turkey. Mm-hmm. Leroy Knuckles was generous enough; he had a whole breast of wild turkey in his meat freezer, which was just filled with stuff that he had. You know, they don't waste anything; they don't throw anything away. And he gave me this whole breast of wild turkey, and we cooked it up over Thanksgiving with alongside our turducken and our heritage breed. We were doing a little turkey off.
Turducken.
And it was seriously, I think, the best turkey I've ever had in my entire life. Because look at the way the animal is living. It's eating what God intended it to eat.
Right.
It's moving about, like the breast meat. Even the breast meat was quite dark.
Right.
And it tasted like turkey, but like really, really intensely turkey.
Huh. Okay, we have to throw our kebabs on.
That's right. We have kebabs.
We got distracted.
We gotta
do this quick. Hold on. This is terrible. I can't believe we brought all this stuff and now we haven't even started. Let's
So where are our duck hearts? We got those around here somewhere?
Everything's in that little bag. So the idea here, folks, was I was gonna be in charge of the surf part of this. And obviously, Scott was going to be in charge of the turf part of this. And we're making a combined kebab, which is scallops and duck hearts. And
marinated duck hearts.
Marinated duck hearts. And what else do we have? Let's see. Do we have an... Oh, man. I guess start.
I'm just going to start throwing stuff on here.
Yeah. This is something I've never seen before. I think we just made this up, didn't we? Kinda.
Yeah, I've never seen this. We got some green peppers and some red peppers, some apples, some medium-sized onions. We got some small. What type of onions are these?
I don't know. I asked the guy what these are, and he didn't know either. But
and we got some half tomatoes, and we got some marinated duck hearts, which I picked up yesterday, and some great big old sea scallops. So we figured, why not?
Yeah.
Get it happening.
Thanks to Pat Zolo at Metropolitan Fish.
And thanks to Tom Milan and Company at The Meat Hook.
And thanks to Weber, the mini, what are they called?
Well, we have the Weber BBQ.
We're pretending that we have all these amazing sponsors.
That would be pretty outstanding.
All we have really is Weber. Fairway. Thank you, Fairway, for actually being a real sponsor.
Fairway, you rock.
You rock. All right, let's assemble our kebabs. So tell me about these hearts. I mean, you are the guy to find obscure meat. And Tom at the Meat Hook and Brent hooked you up. Is that right?
They absolutely did. I go in, and it's one of the things that I really love to do, especially at a place like the Meat Hook, is just to go in and see what they have going on, because they're very inventive about their uses of, all right, let's, first of all, do we want to half these or cook them whole? What do you think?
No, whole.
Whole, all right, put them
awesome.
On.
Awesome, okay.
And, they're kind of the old school, every part of an animal, and they look to do really interesting stuff with, especially with offal and, different cuts of steak, things like that, and so I'll just, I'll roll up on my little motorbike and, look to put a whole bunch of stuff in the trunk.
Whatever looks good. I wanted to ask you about that because you're kind of the specialist on like a lot of these Polish. I know with your heritage, you're a specialist in the meat markets of our neighborhood. And I wanted to ask you about the difference between kind of like hipster, new age butchers and old school Polish butchers. Like what where do you lean? What do you lean towards?
I think they're both great and they're both great in really different ways. Mm-hmm. The Polish butchers, and he's talking about our neighborhood of Greenpoint, Brooklyn, and these old school Polish butchers, they've been doing this for a long time. A lot of them have their own smokehouses.
And when you say a long time, I mean, we're talking 50, 60 years.
We're talking about 60 years. Yeah. You throw another heart on there, why don't you? Or wait, how about a scallop?
Yeah, okay.
Where are those scallops?
Now, I'm concerned that the scallops are going to cook too fast. We might want to leave them off to the end, but they're going to look so damn cool.
Yeah, they really are.
Give me one of these.
Okay. So... Yeah, they've been doing this, and they've not just been doing this in Greenpoint for a long time, but this is cooking heritage, culinary heritage that goes back for.
There goes the guitar.
Hey, there we go. Okay. Mazel tov. this goes back for hundreds of years. Old school Eastern European cooking.
Sure.
They've been making these same kielbasa and
Mazel tov. You're actually a Jewish southerner with Eastern European roots.
Yeah, I'm a
throw that on there.
I'm a Southern ginger Jew, as I think there are.
There can't be that many of you down south.
There's me and my brother and our friend Rachel Wharton.
I know Rachel well.
And Rachel has a heritage show.
Where's Rachel from?
Rachel grew up in North Carolina.
Right.
but she actually has family from Lafayette, Louisiana, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't a lot of us, but. Especially the fair-skinned, red-headed ones.
And so I mean, what like you've, I mean, you've written about these places, about like our neighborhood spots.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and
definitely.
Then, but so like, when do you choose to go to Tom over, say, you know, our what's that awesome place around the corner from us?
There's all, so many of them.
The one that's all red, that's up on like
The Polsky Meat Market on Manhattan Avenue.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Well, it depends if I'm looking for something like traditional Polish sausage, or, you know, they do a lot of really great sausages. They do. I think they have some of the best hot dogs at the Mazur Meat Market on. I think it's near the corner of Greenpoint Avenue and Manhattan Avenue. Mm-hmm. They have really, really fantastic hot dogs that are made of beef, pork, and veal.
Okay.
Hand me one of them hearts, there, boy.
Oh, there's a heart for you.
Oh, all right, I love it.
Do we need to turn that up, or is that up pretty high?
I think we need to turn it up.
We have our grill in the studio with us. This is pretty fun, and we're smoking the place out. But you also have like one of those eggs, yeah, in your backyard.
I have, yes, I have a big green egg.
What's the advantage of cooking with that thing?
Well, it's
it's ceramic.
It's got the big ceramic insert, and the advantage of cooking with that, mm-hmm, is of course that it's natural lump charcoal.
Okay.
Is the very first, as opposed to,
whoop, on the grill.
Oh, there we go.
Sizzle. Do you guys hear that sizzle? Send the mic over there for a second.
We want
people to experience the sizzle. Oh yeah.
Oh, that's just great.
That's really just Mike Bruno, our videographer, with some, you know, spit in his mouth going.
You can't tell on the radio, can you?
Nope.
We forget about this.
That's right. You don't even know how this is going to taste back home.
Yes.
It looks good.
It's,
I can
looking,
tell you guys that
And
much.
It's starting to smell pretty good, too, I got to say.
Right.
So I'll go to the Polish guys if I want Polish food. If I want traditional Polish sausages, or, you know, the hot dogs that I do, I mentioned. And like all of their really great like weird head cheeses and things like that, you know, pierogies, mm-hmm, you know, pickles, sauerkraut, farmer's cheese, things like that. All very traditional Polish items.
Do you have a favorite?
I have a lot of favorites. Well, yeah, you know, any of the sausages, they do really, really great blood sausages.
Mm-hmm. Which spot for blood sausage? Because I love blood sausage.
I think Polski has a good one.
Yeah.
A lot of them have good blood sausages, you know, really thick, gnarly, you know, look like the size of a baby's arm, like they're really like knotty and kind of vulgar looking. Like
that place is intimidating. They have such a crew there.
It's, yeah,
like, it's, especially during the holidays. Holy moly.
It can get kind of intimidating.
Yeah.
But things like that, I'll get there. But what I love about places like the Meat Hook and, you know, these more kind of new school butchers.
Right.
Like I said, they tend to be a little bit more creative and inventive, mm-hmm, about the products that they're offering,
mm-hmm,
instead of just, you know, saying, oh, you know, here's what we have. What would you like?
Sure.
You know, they have like, you know, the bacon cheeseburger sausage and the banh mi hot dog and you know, just marinated duck hearts.
Right.
You know,
totally like messing with your idea of what a butcher's allowed to do and not allowed to do.
Exactly. And right, you know, they have their hookup and they do all of their own fabrication,
mm-hmm,
and it allows them to kind of play around a bit in a way that you wouldn't see at your, you know, traditional butcher, who I think, you know, most traditional butchers, even the Polish ones, I think it's mostly a matter of pride that they're making this same product, you know, that they grew up with, what their parents grew up with,
mm-hmm,
you know, it's their heritage.
Sure.
It's their, you know, it's
and
their
culture.
And they'll
get fired immediately if they probably put something weird on them.
Exactly. But at the same time, they have all of these different products that they...
Good save.
I got it.
No, I think that's absolutely right. I think that's probably is, you know, if you're going for your traditional kielbasa or whatever,
mm-hmm,
you know, stick to your old school joints in Greenpoint. But if you're looking for something new and different to bring to a barbecue, go talk to Tom at Meat Hook.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And then you can, I mean, and you can ask them, mm-hmm, they'd be willing if you're like, you know, can you do this cut for me or in a certain way?
Yeah.
And you know, if you don't speak Polish, that makes it a little bit sticker. That might make it a little bit more difficult in one of these Polish butchers.
I'll tell you a secret over there at the Meat Hook. If you're really, really nice to them every once in a while, you can convince them to make you a sandwich. They'll tell you they're not equipped for sandwich making, Oh, that's a lie.
You realize you're on the radio right now. People can hear you.
They're
gonna love you.
They've got the buns back there. They can make you the best sandwich you've ever had in your whole life. So what I'm trying to do is secretly steer them to opening up a little sandwich shop over there, which I really hope they do. well, man, we just had Scott Gold on Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. It was an honor, really an honor to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. I'd love to come back if you'd have me.
And this guy's a neighborhood guy, so if you go to Cup in the Morning over in Greenpoint, or you see a...
You can see me at my hungover fineness in need of coffee.
That's right. Or look for the ginger kid at the Polish butcher, and you will meet Scott Gold. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Catch it, cook it, and eat it.
Heads, fish, heads, roly-poly fish, heads, fish, heads, fish, heads, eat them up, yum.